Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, your Schofield Bible, page 1281. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11. We'll read the verses responsively. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and page 1281. This announcement, security would like for Lester Martell to come to the usher station. Lester Martell. The usher station is out of this hallway down at the southeast corner of our building. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. The text verse is the very last verse. We'll read verse 11. I charge thee that, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Let's read the 11th together also. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Father, the purpose you have for this service is known to thee. Make it known to us. Thank you for thy Spirit. We trust thee, O Spirit, to move in our midst this evening. We pray for thy fullness. Please bless in this service. We pray that you'd give a little extra to our preacher concerning his voice, and give us extra attentiveness because of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can still do what you always could do. Our Heavenly Father, I have a truth tonight that I want the Holy Spirit to take and to transfer to my people. Encourage our hearts because of the message tonight. Speak to us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. How would you like to have to give an account, as Judge Thomas did, for the last 10 years of your life? Brother Bordway is trembling up here on the platform. How would you like for the same searchlight to be turned upon your past for the last 10 years that was turned upon Judge Thomas's past for the last 10 years? The honest, simple truth is, we're a bunch of sinners. That's all we are. Let me say tonight, before I bring the message, I'm not promoting or condoning sin. My Pharisee friends will delight in putting this, some statements I make tonight, on their phylacteries, and will say Brother Hiles is condoning sin. No, I'm not condoning sin. I'm simply saying Jesus uses sinners. I think sin is bad, wrong, But I don't think there are just two or three sins in the Bible. I think all sin is bad and wrong. We give up on ourselves too soon. This statement I'm going to make right now is the most important statement I'll make, and I'll make it several times in the sermon. There's nothing that you could have done had you not blown it that you cannot still do. People say, Brother Hiles, I've committed certain sin. Can I still preach? Sure. Take your Bible out in the street corner and start off. There are two positions in all the Bible. Two positions that certain sins would keep you from filling, but no work that you can't do. For example, here's a man who preaches behind a pulpit, pastors a church. Now he commits some kind of a sin that might forfeit him to hold the position, but it does not forfeit him the right to preach. Now, when you say preaching, you're talking about standing up behind a pulpit as pastor of a church. God's talking about a street corner, jailhouse, rescue mission. You can preach. Now, there are things that you can do that'll cause you not to be able to be a pastor or a deacon. But let me say it again. There's nothing for God that you cannot do now that you could do before you sin. The only difference is it'll be harder to do it. Because folks won't pull for you. Especially the Pharisees. And the only difference is it'll be harder for you to do it. But there's nothing that you could have done before you sin that you cannot do after you get right with God again. Can you imagine what happened on Pentecost while Peter was preaching? Can't you see the Robert L. Sumners of his day saying 50 days ago that guy was cussing? I heard him myself. He was cussing. 50 days ago, he said, I don't even know Jesus. But he preached on Pentecost. Can you imagine the hecklers? Can you imagine the Pharisees? Can you imagine what Paul went through? Paul got saved. Paul had been a persecutor of God's people before he got saved. Now, wait a minute. Paul was preaching before he hit the ground. I mean, Paul didn't even have systematic theology. That's why he was a good preacher. But I mean, can you imagine? The truth is, when he went down to Jerusalem, everybody was scared of him. He'd been down there killing people. Now he goes down there to preach. They didn't want to have him. But Barnabas went down, and Barnabas calmed them and said, you trust me, you trust him. Now listen carefully. Brother Colston read a while ago a scripture where Paul said concerning Mark. He said, Mark is profitable to me. I'll get to Mark after a while. But Mark had been backslidden. Mark had left the will of God for his life. Mark had turned his back on the Apostle Paul. But he came back to God, and Paul said, he is profitable to me. That isn't all. That same word is used in the book of Philemon. When Onesimus, the slave, who had stolen from Philemon his master and had run off with the spoils, met Paul in jail in Rome. Paul won him to Christ in jail. Paul writes this book of Philemon back to Philemon, asking Philemon, the one who had been from whom Onesimus had stolen, he said, look, I met the guy that stole from you in jail, but he's got saved. Now he said, he's profitable. Same word that Paul used about John Mark. He is profitable to you and to me. I'm saying God can use an ex-convict to be profitable to his work. I'm saying God can use a backslider to be profitable again to his work. I'm saying you can bounce back. Now see, what you want is a position. So if you can't preach behind a pulpit and have a church and a deacon board, you'll just keep your trap shut. I doubt your call. I doubt your call. You show me a man who's been called of God to preach, who backslides and does something that makes him forfeit a position, he'll get right back to what he was called to do, pay or no pay. Pulpit or no pulpit. Church or no church. Let me show you. Let me show you what a excuse me, what a murderer can do. A murderer. What he can do. One, he can see a burning bush and be called of God. A murderer! Can you imagine what would happen if Moses had been ordained to preach? The committee asked him the question, do you have any bad thing in your background? Yeah, I killed a man. It's not an ordaining council in America would ordain Moses to preach. Now, as soon as we get Moses turned down, let's talk about Paul. Paul, how about your background? Well, Moses, pussyfooter. He just killed one. What did a murderer? What did a murderer do? He saw a burning bush. Was called by God. He saw a rod become a snake. And the snake become a rod. He freed an entire nation. He provoked a wicked king to his knees. He smote a sea and parted its waters. He prayed to God and manna came. He smote a rock and water came to feed 2 or 3 million Hebrew people. He called down a pillar of fire from heaven by night and a pillar of cloud by day. With a serpent, he saw thousands healed. By holding a brazen serpent high, he saw thousands of dying people healed immediately. What can a murderer do? A murderer can cast a tree into a bitter pond and make it sweet. He can go to Sinai. And God meets this murderer on Mount Sinai. And God gives this murderer tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. What can a murderer do? He can pastor a church of 3.5 million people that in Acts chapter 7 is called the church in the wilderness. What can a murderer do? He can write the first 5 books of the Bible. A murderer. Let me show you what a murderer can do. A murderer can preach the gospel. A murderer can start churches all over Asia and some in Europe. A murderer can write 14 books of the New Testament, over half. The Apostle Paul. Somebody's going to say, Brother Hiles says, murderers ought to pastor churches. No, you're a liar there like you are in every other area. I didn't say that at all. I said, God not only can use and will use, but has used ex-murderers. Most of the Bible is written by 3 murderers. David, Paul, Moses. What can a murderer do? He can be killed at Lystra and rise from the dead. He can become the greatest Christian who ever lived. He can become the greatest church builder of all time. He became the greatest preacher of all time. He became the greatest Bible teacher of all time. Now, you're saying, are you saying a murderer ought to do that? I'm not saying anything. I'm telling you what God did with one. May I tell you what an adulterer can do? I'm not talking about somebody living in adultery now. I'm not talking about somebody murdering people now. I want to tell you what God can do with somebody who's an excellent adulterer. Named Rahab. A prostitute. She can take in and protect the spies. She can marry a descendant of Abraham. She can mother Boaz, who married Ruth. She can be one of the four women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Would you like to know who these women are? Would you like to know only four women mentioned in the entire genealogy of Jesus? Who are they? Tamar, mother of an illegitimate child. Bathsheba, David's companion in sin. Ruth, the woman from heathen Moab. And Rahab, the harlot. You know what it said? What's God saying here? God is not saying that these women, he's endorsing the illegitimate child of Tamar, or the heathen religion of Ruth, or the adultery of Bathsheba. God is not saying he's endorsing the prostitution of Rahab. God is saying he has nobody to use but sinners, and if you'll get right with God, no matter what you've done, God will use you. That's what God is saying. How, ye Pharisees, while you are destroying sinners, Jesus is using sinners. How, you critics, while you wrap your robes of righteousness around you, plain as you can be, you wouldn't commit adultery. One reason is you're so unattractive, nobody would. It's like these women's groups. They have no fear of being sexually harassed. As I said before, you can cure this whole mess of sexual harassment by making every woman as ugly as these women's leaders are. I believe I start flirting with men. Now you listen to me. God has nobody but sinners to use. And God looks down and says to somebody, you've been in deep sin. And there's no shallow sin. But you've been in deep sin. God says, you've been delivered. You've been saved. Hey, who better can carry the message of redemption better than the redeemed? Who better can carry the message of forgiveness better than the forgiven? Who better can carry a message to the fallen of better than the lifted can? God is saying, you can be profitable. Let me tell you what a prostitute did. She came to a well to get some water. She met the stranger of Galilee, and he asked her if he could have a drink of her water. And she said, he said to her, I'm in the water business myself. Oh, she said, water business? Yeah, he said, I'm in the water business, and if you take one drink of my water, you'll never get thirsty again. Talk about security of the believer and not falling from grace. There it is. You take one drink of my water, and you'll never get thirsty again. She said, give me this water. I've been walking up here to this well and filling up this bottle and putting it on my head and taking it back all these day after day after day. Give me this water. And Jesus said, I am
him the living water.
He said, go call your husband. She said, don't have a husband. He said, I know that. He said, been married 5 times. You live with a fellow right now. It's not your husband. She takes off for town. She said, hey, come see a man told me all things I ever did. She's a woman. You can understand why she'd stretch it some. All he told her was she had had 5 husbands and living with another man now. And she said, come see a man told me all things I ever did. By the way, you know what that woman can do? She can win a whole town to Jesus Christ. By the way, she'd never been to church yet. She'd never been baptized yet. Are you listening? Are you listening, young ladies? She'd never taken communion yet. I mean, if she went to church, she wouldn't know how to behave. She'd be like that fella. Is that where you sit sometimes up there? Over here? Like a fella sets up prayer sometimes. He'd never been to church before. He's a gang member, got saved. He doesn't say amen. He says D-A-M-N, that's good. Except he doesn't spell it. You know why? Because he can't spell it. And I think the first time he hollered that out there, I can't even say it, but shucks, that's good. I think God almost swallowed his tongue. But I think he stopped and said, I like that guy better than the Pharisees criticized him. That's what a woman can do. Never been to church, never taught a Sunday school class, never been baptized, never taken communion, never met a Christian in her life. She met the Savior, and he changed her life, and revival broke out because of it. Let me tell you what the father of an illegitimate child can do. He can pray for the safety of Sodom and talk God into sparing a city for 10 righteous people. What can the father of an illegitimate child do? He can be the father of the Hebrew race and the father of the faithful. His name is Abraham. What can the father of an illegitimate child do? He can offer Isaac on Mount Moriah. All of these things happen after he fathered an illegitimate child. He can have God's covenant with him confirmed again. I think that's one reason why God did it. Abraham had fathered an illegitimate child. I'm not endorsing that. I think that's wicked sin. But all God has to help people is former wicked sinners redeemed by his grace. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. And God says, I'll use him. What can a former father, illegitimate child do? Be called a friend of God. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, James 2, 23, twice, be called a friend of God. What can the father, illegitimate child do? Father of the nation Israel. How, ye Pharisees, while you're abusing, God is using. You wouldn't let Abraham teach a Sunday school class in your church. You wouldn't let Moses have a bus route. You wouldn't let Paul be on the staff. Oh, I might add, too, that it's pretty well understood Paul was divorced. Oh, brother. Divorced. Yeah, just like you. Gossip. Scandalizer. Oh. Since when did God give you make you a committee of one to categorize sin? Since when did God appoint you to decide the severity of sin? I'm not for divorce. I'm not. In
44 years of preaching, I've never advised one person to get a divorce. But let me tell you something. A divorced person walks down this aisle tonight and gets right with God. God can use him if he will be used.
Let me tell you what a murderer and an adulterer can do after he murdered and after adultery. He wrote Psalm 51. Murder and an adulterer. He wrote Psalm 146. He wrote Psalm 147 after. He wrote Psalm 148. He wrote Psalm 149. He wrote Psalm 150. He wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." After. He fathered Solomon. After. He sat on the throne as the greatest king Israel ever had. He was given victory over Absalom. Forgiveness he granted to Shimei. He won the battle of Mount Ephraim. Rules the nation of Israel. And after is called a man after God's own heart. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying don't you listen to the Pharisees. God can use you. If God calls you to preach and you've committed some stupid sin and you've gotten forgiveness for it, get out here on the street corner and start preaching somewhere. Now, you can't have a position, but fully on a position and hooray on a preaching. Amen. Only two things you can forfeit. Pastor and deacon. That's all. Show me the qualifications in the Bible for a soul winner. Show me the background for a bus captain. Show me the rules and regulations for somebody to pass out tracts. Show me a place that says, if God's forgiven you, you can't stand on a street corner and preach somewhere. Now you listen to me. This thing called Christianity is all about sinners and a Savior. And the whole concept of Christianity is there is a fallen race of people. And that fallen race has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God can make them as he did the criminal Onesimus and the traitor John Mark. He can make them profitable to himself. Not to mention Bathsheba, who mothered King Solomon and became one of the greatest mothers in the Bible. Let me show you what a traitor can do. A traitor named Peter. Thou wast with Jesus of Galilee. Is that right? Peter denied before them all, "I know not what thou sayest." A little while later, somebody said, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And Peter denied with an oath, "I know not the man." Somebody said, "Surely thou art one of them." And he cursed and swore and said, "I know not the man." Talking about Jesus. What rights he got to preach on Pentecost? What rights he got to be sent as a missionary? What right has he got? The same right that every other sinner has. God's looking for people who have been delivered to say, you too can be delivered. God's looking for people who have been transformed to say, you too can be transformed. What can this man do now? Three times he said he didn't belong to Jesus. Tell you what he can do. He can preach on Pentecost 50 days later. Have 3,000 people saved. Now, there was nobody there to say, ladies and gentlemen, we have a great Christian here, Pope Peter and his wife. You say, you have a wife, you had a mother-in-law. Any fool have a mother-in-law and not have a wife? He hadn't got enough sense to be Pope, I'll guarantee you. Nobody stood up and said, we have Pastor Peter here, well-known, world-renowned. Oh, I think old Peter just stood up and started hollering. I was over there at Bible Lands on a tour with our people. Took 64, 65 of our people. We went to the Capernaum, where Peter's, the synagogue where Peter attended was. And we were looking around the ruins of that old synagogue, and up drove two busloads of hippies. They laughed and made fun. I got fed up with it. They just laughed and stuff like that. I got fed up. I stood up on one of those old remains of an old pillar, cut loose and preached. I preached to two busloads of long-haired hippies. They sat there with their mouths open, didn't move. And I preached up a storm. An hour later, when I finished, I found out that they couldn't understand English. You know what? Tonight, of all the young preacher boys in this room, I'll bind you 25 of you going to mess up someday. Wouldn't this be a wonderful service tonight if I could talk you into when you realize you've messed up and have forfeited your right to hold an office, one of two offices, that you've not forfeited your right to still preach the grace of God? Wouldn't it be good if you'd go find your jailhouse to preach in? Wouldn't it be good if you'd go find your street corner to preach on? Go to the shopping center and start preaching? I'm simply saying, there is nothing that you could have done that once you get right with God, you still cannot do. It'll just be harder. Let me show you what a traitor can do or what a crook can do. He can be a prince of God. Name is Jacob, a crook, former crook. He can found a race, have his name changed from Jacob to Israel. And the name Israel be attached to the name of the people of God. By the way, you know, let me tell you something very interesting. Did you know that those 12 spies that came who were leaders of Israel? Don't miss this now. Those 12 spies that came to Jericho, and the harlot of the city invited them in and they protected them and kept them. Did you know that harlot, Rahab, is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Heroes? Here's the interesting thing. Did you know not a single one of those spies is? Not Joshua? Not Caleb? Not a single one of the 12 spies is in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Heroes. But that ex-prostitute is smack dab in the middle of it. What can a crook do? Be an example of a spiritual man, Romans chapter 9, and be listed three times in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me show you what a quitter can do. John Mark turned his back on Paul, left the first missionary journey and quit. But he got right with God. What can he do? He can become an apostle. One of the 12. If John Mark had done in First Baptist Church of Hammond what he did on the first missionary journey, he couldn't even be a deacon here. Somebody would veto him. But God made him one of the 12. What can this quitter do? He can be called by Peter, my son.
What can this quitter do? Have it said by the Apostle Paul, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me. What can he do? He can become Peter's interpreter while he preached. What can he do? He can accompany Peter on his missionary trips. What can he do? He can found the church in Alexandria. What can he do? Write the second book of the New Testament.
Let me tell you what an idolater can do. Moses up on the mountain getting the tablets of stone. Aaron down there with the people. He led those people and taking their earrings and jewelry, putting those things into the fire and melting them, building a mold of a calf, like they had in Egypt. And when Moses got back, these people were headed by Aaron, worshiping this golden calf. I like what Moses did. He ground that thing to powder, put the powder in the water, and made the people drink it. I love that. Now, what did this traitor, idolater do? He got right with God. And by the way, he's the guy that allowed nakedness while Moses was gone. He's the guy that allowed rock music be played while Moses was gone. He's the guy that allowed dancing to go on while Moses was gone. What did this idolater do when he got right with God? He held Moses' hands high. He stood between the living and the dead and held high the censer and saved thousands of people from death. He became the high priest. It was he on the Day of Atonement went inside the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. Now let me tell you what you can do. You can do anything you ever could have done. You may not hold the title you could have held. But fool your own titles anyway. You cannot hold the title of pastor, but you can still preach. You can't hold the title of deacon, but you can still preach. See, here's what you want. You want the title or nothing. I've heard Dr. John Rice say this so often. I used to love to hear him say it. Nobody could speak with the pathos of John Rice. He said, if you ever hear that John Rice has gone down to a tavern and got drunk and ran off with some prostitute, he said, I'll tell you where you'll find me in a few days. He said, you just go up and down the streets and on some street corner you'll hear me preaching Jesus and you'll see me a forgiven man reminding people that God forgives. Can I preach? You sure can. And let me say this. After you sinned, you can win as many folks to Christ as you would have won. This woman at Sychar's well was a pretty good soul winner. And she didn't even belong to the foster club. She had never taken Faye Dodson's course. But she's a pretty fair soul winner. Years ago, a great man came on the scene in America, lived over here in Chicago. All over the world today, you have a phenomenon called rescue missions. Rescue missions are something new to our generation, or to the last generation, the last 50, 60 years, 70. But over here in Chicago, there was a man whose name was Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter was the worst alcoholic you've ever seen in your life. Mel Trotter would come home and take his wife's clothes and go out and sell them to get enough money to get to buy liquor with. Mel Trotter's little daughter was sick. He came and took the dress off his little daughter while she was sick and went out and sold it and bought liquor with it. When Mel Trotter's little daughter died, Mel Trotter went to her little corpse unlaced her shoes, took the shoes off the corpse of his own daughter, and sold those shoes so he could get drunk. That's about as bad as you can get. One day, Mel Trotter went down the Chicago River. He's going to end it all. But he heard somebody singing on a street corner. I don't know what they were singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I don't know. Down at the cross where my Savior died. I don't know. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. I don't know. But they were singing. And he stopped to hear the music. And he heard the songs of redemption. And then a simple preacher, street preacher, stood to preach. Don't discount it, folks. He stood to preach on a street, and nobody much listening. But the man who just sold the shoes off of the corpse of his little daughter heard the gospel story. And Mel Trotter was used of God to found the great rescue mission ministry of this nation. And every time a man comes in our rescue mission over here and comes to Christ, or anywhere in America, Mel Trotter had a part in it. That's what God can do with a sinner, alcoholic, a drunkard, and God can use you. I'll say it again. All you've done is forfeited your, in many cases, is forfeited your chance to hold the office of pastor or deacon. And also, you have made it a little more difficult to do what you could have done. But you can still do it. Because the Pharisees will come out in great numbers. And the hecklers will heckle. And folks will say you're not worthy. But God says He has only people who are sinners saved by grace. And God can use you. See, we sell ourselves short. We've listened to this crowd of Pharisees. We've listened to them say that you can forfeit being a soul winner. Most of them haven't forfeited it. They never started it. But God can use you. Now, before you be too critical of what I've said tonight, don't forget Moses was a murderer. And you can't refute that. That's in the Bible. Of course, in your Bible, it may say something else. But you can't refute that. And you can't refute that the Apostle Paul was a murderer. And you can't refute that David wrote the 23rd Psalm after he got forgiveness of his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. I'm saying tonight, no matter what you've done, God will save you, write your name in heaven, and make you His child. And also, whatever you've done, God can still use you. It'll be harder, but you can still do what you could have done, even though you can't be. Hold a title you could have held. So let Him have you. He needs you. He needs... Let's suppose that the local First Baptist Church of Sychar Bible teacher had gone back to red light districts of Sychar. Now hear me. And suppose that she had taken her big Scofield Bible and gone back to Sychar's red light districts and said, "Hey, you wicked men looking to purchase sex, you can be regenerated by the grace of our great God. And these pimps and perverts in the red light district would have said, that woman's lost it. But this gal they slept with last night came back. She said, hey, I met somebody. I met somebody. Hey, I want you to have what I found. From sinking sand, He lifted me. With tender hand, He lifted me. From shades of night, the plains of light. Oh, praise His name. He lifted me. Shall we stand, please? You know what you ought to do? You know what the Holy Spirit's been telling you to do during the sermon tonight? Now do it as the choir sings.